Well, I didn't intend to start off today, but there's a little subject on my mind, and so we'll say a few words on it. We'll read, first of all, in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll read from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Think about that little expression, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." You know, the coming of the bridegroom is going to make a tremendous division in this world. And it is going to divide between those who are real believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are only professing. Because the coming of the bridegroom was final. It decided who went in with him and who didn't. But I want to think with you for a few minutes today that the bridegroom is coming. You know, we don't hear much today about the coming of the Lord Jesus. We often don't think about it. But only a blind man could not think about it in the world in which we're living today. You think of all the things that God is doing in this world. Never mind what man is doing, but think about what God is doing. How he's moving all the plates of the earth and man can't stop him. And how he's causing the waves of the sea to rage and man can't stop that. And how he's spewing ash into his heavens and man can't stop that. And those things are increasing in frequency and they're increasing in intensity. And the Lord Jesus said, you know, you can discern the skies, you can discern what's happening there. How is it that you cannot discern the times? Well, you say we're not supposed to watch for signs. Well, that's not the way I read my Bible. I know that's sometimes preached, but it's not the way I read my scriptures. And I believe we should be cognizant of the fact that the Lord Jesus is indeed coming. And it is going to make a tremendous division in this world. A tremendous division. I remember one dear old Irish brother on a conference platform. He said he believed that when the Lord came, there'd be enough left in the assemblies to carry on testimony. We smile at that. But we wonder sometimes if it may just be true that there are those without the Spirit of God in them They have come to acknowledge the truth with the head, but it has never reached the heart, never brought about that conviction. You know, when the bridegroom came, it settled who had oil in their lamps and who didn't. And when the Lord Jesus comes, that's going to be settled today, whenever it is that He arrives. It's going to be final. We need to think about that. I want to read another passage with you, because in my mind it is linked. It's in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. Verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with a sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you under your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tale of bricks which they did make heretofore ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." The taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And behold, they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people." But he said, You're idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, "Ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Christians, you know, today are suffering tremendously under the daily workload. I remember when I left secular employment, a 60-hour week was a pretty common week. And sometimes we go over that. But you know, as you speak to believers today, a 60-hour week is a very short week. And it's often that they're required to put many more hours than that in. And one of the reasons that we see that kind of thing happening is because of what we read in Matthew chapter 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom is coming. But you know, there is a great force in this world that says the people of God are not going out of this world. They're not going to leave. They are going to serve me. And he is doing everything in his power today to get the believer to serve him. And you'll notice that in Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh engaged the entire nation. All of the taskmasters of Pharaoh were engaged in seeing to it that the people of God served Pharaoh. And I can tell you today that all of the unsaved in this world are engaged by Satan to see that the Christian is fully occupied with the things of this world and has no time to think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No time left in their workday to even pick up their Bible hardly and read a portion from it and get a little word from God. Pharaoh wants to make certain that we're all busy in his work. That's what Satan is doing in the world today. And you know, believers who get caught up in that have a very difficult time to disentangle themselves from the workaday world and come to the things of God and to think about the things of God today. And Satan has designed that it should be so. And you notice that the people were scattered over the land. They had no time to talk to one another. You know, there was a day when believers used to gather and they would speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus and they would sing together. You hardly hear about a sing in a home today. Doesn't happen very often, but believers used to sing together. Young people would often gather and the topic of their conversation would be the Lord's coming and the great need of seeing souls saved before he came. And there was an emphasis on the gospel in their soul and in their conversation together. Do you know that's largely missing today? It's not there. Because the fact that the Lord is coming, and when he comes, there will be a great division in this world, and it has escaped the believer today. They're not stirred as they once were by the thought of souls perishing in their sins. Not stirred. But the cry has gone out. Behold, their bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. God has sent forth that cry into all the world. You know, we were hearing in prayer today about not many attending gospel meetings, and it's true. A few weeks ago I was in Zambia, Africa, and spoke in the gospel, spoke through a translator. But there were many sitting there listening to the gospel. And their faces were intent, and they were listening. And you know, while we were in Zambia about 6 weeks or so, there were a number of baptisms in the various villages around us where the gospel was going forth. And in the assembly where we were at the mission station. You know, souls in third world countries are being saved. They have very little of this world goods. certainly don't have what we have. They've got a grass roof over their head and grass walls on the outside and a little thin grass mat to sleep on. But they're getting saved. And this country that you and I live in, why, we have plenty. All that heart could desire and more. But souls are perishing in their sins. And believers who have the Spirit of God in them have largely missed the fact that all those unbelievers one of these days are going to be left behind and shut out. That doesn't grip our souls as once it did, but it should. And you know, it has been impressed upon my mind as I have listened to the news of the events happening around the world that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And we should be thinking about it, because it is going to happen. God has sent forth His cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him." So, we should be thinking about that as well. And when we get caught up in the workaday world, it would be a tremendous struggle, I know. But we need to be able to somehow disentangle ourselves from all of that and be able to set aside some time for God. Otherwise, the bridegroom coming is going to take us at a moment we thought not. And instead of being engaged in thinking about His things and the things of God, we'll be engaged about thinking about the things of this world. I know that's a hard job. I have talked to many believers who have struggled with that very thing in their lives. How do I set aside time for God when the demands upon me are tremendous? And they don't diminish, they increase. And you know, there's one thing seemingly about the believer, that when a person gets saved, they seem to have instilled in them by the Spirit of God that there is a need to fulfill their responsibility in order to be a good testimony to the Lord Jesus. They want to do what is put upon them. They want to complete their burdens. But you know, when you do that, they simply burden you a little more and put a little more on your plate, because Satan does not want you to have time to think about God. It will be a struggle. You know, I think about the officers of Israel. They were beaten by Pharaoh. I want to say to you today that if you've got overseers in your assembly and you think they're the cause of part of your problem, you want to think again. Because they are the special targets of Satan in this world. And they get beaten far harder than the rest of the believers do, because God wants to discourage them. If He can discourage them, He can discourage the rest of the people under them. And that's what Satan is doing in this world today. He's discouraging the overseers in assemblies. And he's taking away from them the time necessary to care for the flock. And they're discouraged. And the people of God are discouraged. And they're scattered out over the land. And we see many leaving assemblies today because they're discouraged. And they blame it oftentimes on the overseers. Those dear people, those dear men are being beaten by Satan in the workplace and in many other ways, because if you can smite the shepherd, you can scatter the sheep. So God help us to keep our minds upon the Word of God and to hear again today, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him."